Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Today, we are going to be talking about hope for the holidays. I am going to give you a holiday survival guide for parents. I know that as school is nearing an end, we are looking at the Thanksgiving holidays coming up, and then it is usually just a mad rush. Finally, all of you out there who say, Christmas doesn't start until the day after Thanksgiving, well, friends, that is coming. And so Christmas will be here for everyone. And we will be into the shopping and the school performances and the family gatherings and all of those kinds of things. And although the holidays can be some of the most joyous moments for parents, they can also be some of the most stressful. So today on the show for you, I'm going to talk to you about some tips to make your holiday less stressful. We'll be talking about that in this first segment here. And then I'm going to dive into the complexities of difficult family relationships. I've been hearing from so many of you who are just so worried about that, feeling like, what do we do for the holidays? This family relationship is contentious. We want to honor the Lord in what we do and how we treat people. But just the thought of going to visit or engaging in this family dynamic is just enough to make me stressed out. So we'll be talking about some healthy boundaries and some hope for healthy relationships. And then coming up later on for this holiday bundle we have for you today, we'll be talking to a recipient from Operation Christmas Child. We'll be talking to someone who received a box and how that impacted her life. So you won't want to miss that. So with that, let's just dive in here and talk about a parent survival guide for the holidays. Now, unfortunately, we all know it's true. We all hate it. Collectively, I think, but we all know it's true that the holidays are just bombarded by commercial pressures. I mean, we also feel that social pressure to be the perfect family with the perfect kids and the perfect parents and the perfect holiday. And that is just impossible. We set ourselves up to fail because when we're looking at healthy relationships during this time, we have to remember that healthy relationships are not perfect. There will still be conflict. There will still be words spoken in anger. There will still be mistakes made. There will still be moments where you let that stress bubble get to you and you speak sharply and you don't mean it. And so there is value in saying, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And that can be a really powerful model for our kids to apologize when we mess up, not if we mess up, because we are going to mess up. But when we mess up, saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me for this, and then change your behavior. But I'll give you a secret. Your kids do not want a perfect holiday. They don't want a perfect Thanksgiving. They don't want a perfect Christmas. They want a present parent. That's what they want more than anything. And so as you start to go into the holiday season, I want you to have that first on your mind, because especially those of you like me with teenagers, it can feel like that's the farthest thing from the truth. For your adult children, it can feel like, yeah, I don't think that visiting mom and dad is really high on the holiday priority list. But they do want us to be there. And we can't rely on them to give us instant gratification and to direct our activities to say, when we do something nice, they say, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Thank you so much for doing that. And I loved having you here. And then we feel validated. We have to invest in what we think is wise and lead as parents. But the greatest gift that every kid wants, now I can tell you this is verified through research, no matter what age they are and no matter what they say, is they really want our time. So don't stress about spending all your money. So many times during the holiday, we think about that a lot, how much we're spending or not spending, but we don't give a second thought to hoarding or spending or wasting our time. And that doesn't take nearly as much intention as our Christmas budget does, for example. Magical holidays are just not created by material means. That is just the truth. Magical holidays are created by meaningful memories. Can you recall every gift you received when you were 12? Or what you did on your 10th Thanksgiving? Can you remember exactly what every dish was? Or, you know, if there were real dishes or paper plates? I doubt it. But I do believe that you would remember a kind word from a loved one, a sacrificial gift that someone gave you, or laughter in calamity. It really doesn't matter if you burn the apple pie. And yes, mom, that's my husband's mom. I'm talking to you. We still think that's funny. But we do remember those memory investments. So when you are thinking about your holiday, before you start stressing about your budget, think about your memory investments, not your monetary ones. And when you're feeling stressed, you're starting to feel the stress of the holiday. Here's a question that you really need to ask yourself. You need to ask, is this stress self-imposed? Am I putting this stress and this pressure on myself? Because I think so many times as parents, and especially as moms, we feel that pressure to make a holiday event or a family gathering perfect, or we want, you know, to get that perfect picture. And the truth is, a lot of times nobody cares about it but us. And we're sitting here stressing ourselves out over something that is probably not that important. So if the stress is self-imposed, then think, what can I do to change that? Did I overcommit my time? Did I overcommit my finances? Can I take it back? Is this obligation I feel self-inflicted and nobody's putting pressure on it but me? Now, if that stress is not self-imposed, if it is coming from another source, then you really ask the same questions and think, is this a stress that I need in my life? And I want, right before, we are a little early in this holiday season, but I want you to be intentional about this holiday season. And you can be intentional in planning the best holiday your family has ever had. And a lot of that comes from the freedom of saying no. Just saying no. Feel the glory of simply saying, we're not available. No, we can't do that. Thank you for asking us, and not apologizing a million times and saying, well, I don't know. Let me see if we can move some things around, and let me talk to my husband, and let's see if, you know, he can take our daughter to dance practice so that I can come over there. Just feel the glory of saying, let me check on that and get back to you. Or just saying, I really appreciate you asking, but that's just not something we can do this year. And let it go. Forgive yourself. Find peace and self-release, and prioritize your own mental health and thinking, what are the best decisions for our family? That is your biggest obligation, is serving the children and your spouse who are in your home. And so if some of those priorities are coming from social pressures you're feeling outwards, just think about your priorities really intentionally. So I want you to think, the first thing, that's the first question I have for you, is how are you intentionally planning to spend your time and your finances this holiday season? Now, the second thing that I want to tell you is that I want to talk about that pesky thief of joy, as my daughter likes to call it. I am talking about comparison. Comparison is the thief of joy. And so often at the holidays, we find ourselves in that comparison trap magnified. Now, this can come through social media where we're looking at these glamorous vacations that people are taking with snowy pictures and ski lodges somewhere, or outings that they're taking. Everybody's cutting down their own Christmas tree and bringing it back. Or you see family relationships that just look so perfect. And you see mothers and daughters getting together for holiday brunch, or maybe going to see the Nutcracker Ballet. And you see gifts that people are getting, and you start to have that seed of discontent. So I encourage you to be intentional about the way you use social media, especially during the holidays, and not to let comparison steal your joy. Because you may see that vacation that is there, but what you may not see is a fight between a husband and wife behind the scenes about how much money that costs. Or you may see an outing where they're cutting down a Christmas tree, but what you don't see is that maybe the tree wouldn't fit in and there's a fight that happens. There's so much conflict that can be masked by the prism of perfection of social media. So we have to model that for our kids. We can't sit there and think, oh, I wish I was that family that had the matching pajamas with the, you know, cute little picture. Maybe that's just not your family. And you can still have a really great Christmas. You can have a great holiday without doing some of those things. It's just very true. Another thing to think about. Sometimes when we're at the holiday season, our kids can be a little rambunctious and a little more difficult to control. It is the excitement of the holidays. It is maybe being out of school, whether they're in school and they're on holiday break, or you're homeschooling and you're taking a break from schooling. It can be really difficult. And so that frustration can build. So if your child starts to do something that is just driving you crazy and you're thinking, oh my goodness, and you're getting onto them about it, this is what you can do to help that. And it's probably not what you would think it is. You need to examine yourself for the same trait. Because our kids are just like us, and they cope exactly like we've taught them to cope. And I'll give you a transparent example here. One of my children, who shall remain nameless, right? But may or may not be struggling with keeping a clean room. And I was fussing and fussing and fussing. And then all of a sudden, I just looked and saw my room, which basically looks like an Amazon packaging plant has exploded. I mean, it is and collided with a laundry factory. And I thought, how can I sit there and gripe about this when I'm making excuses for myself? But I'm the mom and I'm working and I'm doing all of these things. So a lot of times we have to look at ourselves and think, okay, are we modeling this behavior? And what behavior can we model to make things more calm? Because our goal for this holiday season should not be to make the most magical holiday season we've ever had, but our goal should be to intentionally find ways to foster relational connection with our kids. If you make that your goal, you can have the best holiday ever, despite vacation or not, or gifts or not, or matching pajama pictures or not. Because a lot of times what we're doing is going back to social media. Now, I've talked about this before, but this is something to watch for yourself in this holiday season, is fubbing your children. That's P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G, phone snubbing. When we do not listen with our face, our kids don't feel heard and they feel disconnected from us. And especially when things are hectic around the holidays, they want our attention. So make sure that you're giving them your face. Now, we've all experienced this where we're trying to talk to somebody that we love and they're really not paying attention to us. And we say, you're not listening. And they say, yes, I am listening. And they repeat back everything that you just said to prove that they were indeed listening. But the truth is you don't feel heard, and our children are not any different. Now, I'm going to give you a secret parenting tip here that's biological. When we make eye contact with our children, the way God designed their brains to work is after 20 seconds of eye contact, their brains will secrete oxytocin. It's the same hormone that happens when a mom is nursing a baby. And that makes them feel physically bonded to us, physically connected to us. It's a really powerful tool that you can use in communication and seeking to connect with your kids. So give them permission to call you out on it. I've done that in my house, and let me tell you, sometimes it is really hard to hear, but I need to hear it. I need that accountability in my life. I need them to tell me, Mom, I need your attention right now. And I need to have the discipline and show them the love that they are important to do it. listen with your face. When we come back, we'll talk about more holiday tips and dealing with family conflict.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends, to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. It's Jessica here with a holiday survival guide. We are talking about hope for the holidays. Now, I know the holidays have not quite started yet, but we have Thanksgiving coming up very quickly. And after that, like I said before, all of you, you know, people who say, oh, we don't start celebrating Christmas until after Thanksgiving, it will be here before you know it. And I'm challenging you as a parent, as a grandparent today to think intentionally about planning your holiday season. Now, in the first segment, we talked about just some of the pressures of Christmas and committing your time and your finances and falling in the comparison trap and listening with your faith. Now, in this segment, I want to talk to those of you who are anticipating family conflict. This is something I know very, very well. I know the feeling of agonizing over a gift choice and then somehow it's going to be too expensive or not expensive enough, and the card is going to have some message that's somehow offensive, and no matter how hard you try, there's going to be some conflict. And I want to speak to those people because I'm hearing you, I'm hearing from you, and I know that our experience is common. We want to honor the Lord in our family interactions, but sometimes it just feels like it's so emotionally expensive, and we wonder, is it worth it? So I'm going to give you some tips for boundaries here. The first thing that I want to say, if you have extended family conflict, is to prepare your kids for that, to go in together, to make sure that you are a united front, that you have your people, that you prepare them for what they may experience, that you give them some sort of signal, like this is too much, I need a break, so maybe there's a time to go on a walk. That might be a code word, that might be a tap on the arm, but give your children some boundaries and some parameters for difficult family situations. I know that when I was a young mom and my oldest was a young girl, I gave her a lot of pressure just to go along to get along and just to don't say anything, don't make waves, don't try to make this difficult. And honestly, I regret that. I really do regret that because I think that we could still show love, but still honor my children and understand that this is really hard and confusing for them to see their this conflict that's happening. So giving them some boundaries depending on what that looks like and saying, you know, when we go over to grandma's house today, we love our family very much, but here's some things that you might see. Here's some things that might, you know, be different than what the way our family communicates or different than what our family does. And I want you to know that we can talk about that and you can ask me any questions that you have when we get home. We are going to show them love and respect. But if you feel like you're in a situation that's uncomfortable or that you don't understand, or you're just feeling overwhelmed, come and find me and give me this signal and we will take a time out and we'll talk about it. I think that's really important because sometimes we think even when our kids are really young, they don't really understand what's going on. You know, they don't really see those things, but they do. And even if they don't understand what's going on with the other relatives, they certainly are wired to look to your emotions for their safety. That's how they emotionally regulate. And when they know, ooh, we're going over here and this, you know, makes dad grumpy in the day before we go, or this makes mom anxious or short, they notice those things. They already see them. And pray together as a family before you go. That's really important for your kids to see you modeling that we can't do it on our own. We really need the Lord to help us in those situations, give us strength and give us compassion and give us wisdom in our interactions. So when you go deeper there, you know, sometimes relatives can be well-meaning or not. And it's important for you to know that your children are going to be especially attuned to what you are saying. They may be more quiet than usual, but they are going to listen to your words. They will listen to what you say to your relatives because, again, their brain is trained to be like a police scanner, scanning the environment for indicators that are they emotionally safe? Are they relationally safe? I want to say something especially to parents of teenagers because a common joking point in family gatherings is to bemoan having teenagers, you know, to say, oh, you're a teenager. Oh, you're at that awkward stage. Oh, that's such a miserable phase of parenting. And, you know, I really want to say that our teens are listening to that. And what the message that we give them is that we love a younger version of who they used to be more than who they are becoming. So if you have teenagers especially, I encourage you to think about what is the thing that you love about parenting teens. And if someone says something negative at a holiday gathering, then say back, you know what I love about this phase of parenting? I love this. And then share that. Because parents, let's be honest, it can be easy for us when we have older kids to long for what we see as the magical days of the holidays. I'm talking about flannel-footed pajamas, hot chocolate mustaches, Polar Express adventures, or putting together toys in the wee hours of the morning, or excitement at simply tearing paper. Now, I'll remind you that when your husband or whoever was putting together those things in the wee hours of the morning, it was not as magical as you are making it seem now. But this holiday, give your children the gift of loving the current version of themselves just as much as you loved a younger version. Look for the magic in their growing maturity and their perspective. Look for the wonder of them joining you in traditions for which they were once too young. And look for the joy of adding another holiday season to the wonderful privilege of only 18 seasons that you steward completely. You have 18 holiday seasons where you have pretty much all of the say. And then they move on. They may have their own family, or they may be away at college, or they may be adults living on their own. You have 18 seasons to be the most influential force in crafting their holiday experience. And remember that they want your presence more than your presence. That's than your gifts. So don't worry more about capturing the moment than living in it. So that can be important. Speak kindly of your children when you are around other families. Just speak well of them. That will go so very far. And remember that the magic of the holiday is not magic at all. It's miraculous. It's not found in picture-perfect moments of perfect families or perfectly wrapped Pinterest-worthy packages. It is found in Emmanuel, God with us, right in the middle of our messy imperfections. He is with us. Now, I want to share a devotional with you because, like I said, I know the pain of family brokenness, and this is something that can last for years and decades, and it can be very easy to lose hope and to think there is no hope for this situation. And we come to a story in Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read it to you, the first verses of this. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little girl is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Now this father, his daughter was sick, but I can see this really applying to those who have sick relationships or unhealthy or dying relationships. And Jairus had specifically in his mind exactly how that needed to go for it to be okay. He thought Jesus needed to literally come with him and put his hands on her. And I can't imagine how excited he was when Jesus came with him. But right after this, if you read in the book of Mark, his journey is completely derailed. And there's a woman who had been bleeding, and all of this happens. We know that story, but it's important to remember that it happens right as Jesus is on his way to heal this dying girl. And so he stops and he does that. And I want you to think not about the woman who was healed for the moment. I want you to think about Jairus, the desperate father on the side saying, "Hurry up, come on. You said you would go. You said you would come with me. Why are we waiting?" And I'm sure he was not rejoicing in the miraculous healing. And as that ended, then he continued on and he went on to the girl. And when they got there, they heard a loud commotion. I'm reading again now from Mark chapter 5. There were people crying and wailing loudly, and he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And verse 40 says, "But they laughed at him." Now, after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was, and he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. Now, what can we learn about this story? The first thing is to have faith to ask for healing. Now, the Greek word for faith means trust or firm persuasion. Do you believe God can heal this relationship? I know I've been at places where I've given up and I think this can never be healed. I certainly don't feel firmly persuaded that God can do it. But the fear and urgency of sickness and death turned a respected and dignified community leader into an imploring father, literally on his knees, boldly begging for healing in faith. And I just think about all the things that you all are praying for, healing and those relationships, whether they were damaged by addiction or trauma or mental health or divorce or anything else. So what do we learn? We learn to ask in faith. Jesus told Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe," even when the circumstances were both terrifying and unbelievable. The second thing that we can learn is to dismiss others who aren't supportive. When the mourners ridiculed Jesus, he sent them away. So who is that gloomy voice in your struggle? Who is the relationally toxic person that is so emotionally expensive to you? Who is that person who speaks negativity, who is verbally or emotionally abusive? It's okay to dismiss them for a time and to set healthy boundaries. Now, if you're going to do this and you're going to cut off a relationship, essentially, I really recommend that you don't do that without some sort of counseling, whether that's spiritual counsel from your pastor, biblical counsel, a therapist. Someone needs to walk you through that decision and help you to figure out what is the best way to be. And sometimes it is necessary to put those healthy boundaries in place and to dismiss those relationships in our lives for a season. It may be just so that we can get healing ourselves. But we rob ourselves of faith and victory when we surround ourselves with mourners who are wailing defeat and ridiculing our faith. The third thing that we can do is trust Jesus to provide healing in God's timing according to his plan. Now, to have faith is to let go of trusting yourself and to put your trust in another. Now, if you'll remember, Jairus had a very specific vision for how his daughter would be healed, but Jesus completely disrupted that plan and stopped to heal another woman along the way. And some would say if Jesus had come sooner, the little girl would not have died. What seemed to Jairus like an unnecessary delay allowed Jesus to powerfully demonstrate it is never too late for God to step in and to work more miraculously than we asked or imagined. Now, I know some of you have such deep hurt in your relationships. You just still have that whisper of doubt, or maybe it's even a shout saying this can never happen. This is never going to be healed. And this is the challenge that I would give to you. As Christians, we believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin as the Son of God, that he performed miracles on earth. He suffered crucifixion and death on the cross to pay for our sins and miraculously rose from the dead 3 days later to conquer sin and the grave forever. We believe he ascended to heaven and is waiting at the right hand of God for all who believe. If you have faith enough to believe all of that, why can't you have faith that your relationship will be healed in God's timing and God's plan? That is a really hard lesson to learn. And so some of these things we just cannot control in our holiday season, but we can control our attitude about that fact. And we can choose gratitude. We don't have to be thankful for the situation. In Philippians, it tells us in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so if you're looking for that peace in relational conflict this holiday season, you will find it by giving thanks, counting your blessings. Science supports it. Grateful people sleep better. They have less anxiety. They have less depression. They are generally more happy. They have better relationships. And it takes intentionality. We'll talk about how to do that after the break. And we'll also talk to Dania, who was the recipient of an Operation Christmas Child shoebox. You won't want to miss it. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends, to this holiday survival guide for parents. Yes, Thanksgiving is coming up next week. Kids are going to be off from school. Families are going to be visited. And turkey is going to be eaten. There will be heated discussion about politics over Jell-O molds and all of those things that come along with the Thanksgiving holidays. And we've been talking about how to navigate stress, how to intentionally plan the most connected holiday you've ever had. And we've talked about navigating difficult family relationships. Now, if you missed the show yesterday, I encourage you to go back and listen. I had a very special guest, a nurse practitioner who also happens to be my sister, Amber. And we talked about our own personal journey of broken family relationships. And it was really very powerful because I know that none of us are perfect. We all have struggles, but there is freedom in finding healing through Jesus Christ. And that is the story that we shared yesterday. Now, a story I shared on my social media today was a follow-up story about that. If you were listening, you heard Amber talking about her daughter's struggle with health, and our relationship was completely broken at that time. We grew up in a home that taught us to hide our flaws and failures, and generational trauma took its toll, and we both adopted unhealthy coping mechanisms. Now, I found an earlier path to healing, and she suffered longer and stayed in hiding. But I want to share this miracle moment with you before we talk to Dania, who is going to share with us her miracle moment with Operation Christmas Child. But one of mine came from my sister's daughter. Of course, she had been born with significant health challenges, and because of our brokenness, I had barely seen her and never held her. And my brother's decision to go to rehab sparked a healing journey between me and my five siblings, and we found ourselves at a beach house together with our families at the start of COVID. My sister and I, we asked for and we gave forgiveness to each other there. and we reconciled after years of brokenness. And we knew there was a long journey ahead, but we joined hearts and we started down the road together. Right after we had this conversation in the beach house, we headed out to the beach and my niece was right in front of me, just a little toddler. And the sand was burning her tiny little feet and my sister went to pick her up, but in a completely supernatural moment, she turned to me and put her arms up to me. And as I lifted her little body and I held her for the first time, I felt her arms around my neck and a hug that just wouldn't let go. And I sat down and we found a comfy snuggle and she just went to sleep under the shade of my hat, as peaceful as a little lamb. And I cried. I'm not going to lie. I knew that that sweet baby knew her mama. And I believe she knew when her mama's heart reconciled with mine. She instantly knew she was safe with me and that everything was okay. And her tiny toddler self gave me confidence in my reconciliation with my sister. And it softened my sister's heart towards me. And I'll tell you, I will never forget this magical moment as long as I live. But really, the important thing is that God moved the heart of a little girl to be part of her mom's healing journey. Now, my granny had been praying for this reconciliation for more than a decade. And so as we approach the holidays, I just want to give you one final encouragement that I do know the pain of broken relationships, but I also know the power of hope. And one way that we are participating this year in sending hope around the world is Operation Christmas Child. I've been talking about this every day on the program. Stephanie and I, my producer, we did our boxes. We've already dropped them off at our church. It's so exciting. And today we've got Dania on the program, who was the recipient of a shoebox gift while living in a sensitive country. Dania, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you here to share your story.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Jessica.
What was your life like as a child, Dania?
I come from a country in the Middle East where I remember the majority of people around us were not followers of Jesus. And as a result of this, I remember two specific challenges that we went through while growing up in the Middle East. The first one was persecution. We faced with so many kinds of persecution. I remember a death threat posted on our door, giving us the option of stop telling people about Jesus, leave the village, or my family would be killed. In school, I was bullied because I was the only follower of Jesus in my entire school. And I just remember so many times feeling alone because I couldn't find someone my age that I can connect with that also follows Jesus. And the second challenge was poverty. My dad worked to provide for my family, but it was still difficult to get basic necessities for my family, often lacking school supplies to go to school, hygiene items. Sometimes we had to share a toothbrush among my family members, and even our daily food. Sometimes mom had to bring raw onion and bread before us because we could not afford buying anything else. But in the midst of these two challenges, one thing that my parents made sure to plant in me was to trust the Lord, and especially in the power of prayer.
That is absolutely amazing. And you know, honestly, we've been talking about some challenges that parents here face during the holidays, and hearing you talk about death threats and not having food and sharing a toothbrush. Parents, if you are not absolutely convicted right now, then you're not listening, because I am very convicted. It makes our problems seem very trivial. Well, Dania, tell us about the day that you received your Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. How would you describe that experience?
To me, it was the happiest day of my childhood. Growing up in those two challenges, we often felt, especially me, I often felt unseen because of the rejection and because of the poverty. And the day I received my shoebox gift, I just remember feeling that God saw me, and especially not only the fact that he pierced through that darkness through a form of a shoebox gift and gave it to me, but inside that box, when I looked inside, I was just amazed to see items that not only brought joy to my heart, but they were items that I had prayed for and needed. A little bit before I received my shoebox gift, I remember my family needing a very specific item that we could not afford. And that item was to have a radio. I know you'll appreciate that because we heard that there was going to be Christian music and sermons broadcasted only 2 hours a day through the radio. But we could not afford something as a radio. It was so expensive. But being a family that trusted God with every need through prayer, that was one of those needs. And then when I opened my shoebox gift, I pulled school supplies, hygiene items, so many beautiful toys that brought joy to my heart because I had never received a gift in Christmas or my own birthday. But the biggest surprise was pulling from that shoebox gift a mini radio.
Oh, my goodness.
That was fully functional.
That is amazing. I mean, just what a miracle that God knows every detail. He sees you. He loves you. He knows you. He cares. What kind of spiritual impact did that shoebox have on your life? How did this experience and God answering prayer in such a tangible way impact your walk with the Lord?
So my mom, one of the ways that she was trying to make it in that hardship. I mean, it's hard to parent in the midst of a position, in the midst of poverty. But one of the things she always taught us was to pray, and I saw her pray in front of me. And I remember after receiving the shoebox gift, Mom just looked at us, and she was marveling at this miracle, but she always went back into, this is what God can do. He is the God that answers prayers. She even recited Psalm 23 into our ears every night just to show us that we do have a good shepherd who takes care of us. And so to me, that experience of receiving a shoebox gift affirmed what my mom was teaching me about God and knowing that he truly sees me and he cares about the details of my life.
Now, I understand, I've been told that you were able to find an exact replica of the radio that you received in your shoebox. Is that right?
Yes, after coming to the U.S. and connected with Operation Christmas Child, I just wanted to find that and be able to show people how that radio fit my box. And so thanks to eBay, I was able to find exact replica that I still have with me.
That is so super special. Well, have you ever had the opportunity to deliver, hand out shoeboxes yourself and be on the other end of that exchange?
Oh, my goodness, yes. In 2018... I had the opportunity to go to the country of the Philippines and actually be the one to give out boxes to children. And in that experience, as I was looking how God brought me full circle, and as my circle was becoming complete by me now extending my hand to another child, God allowed me to start the circle in a story of another child. And this was the moment to me when I look back and in the midst of poverty and war and persecution, I was able to see that nothing is wasted in God's book. These were hardships, these were hard times, but God's hand was clearly on all of that he orchestrated my whole life to lead to that moment so I can be the one to bless another child.
That is such an amazing full circle moment where God is just weaving the tapestry of your life, Dania. And I think it's such a blessing when we're able to see all of those threads, you know, come all the way through. Well, what is one thing that you would like to share with our listeners? What's the one thing that you want them to know about Operation Christmas Child?
But some people think that it's just a shoebox filled with items and it may not be that significant. But for those that have nothing and they are praying for God to provide and even know that he answers prayers, this is one way to do that. And what I love about Operation Christmas Child, it doesn't just stop at giving a shoebox and that's it. But every shoebox given, the kids get to hear about Jesus. And then afterward, they get invited back to a discipleship program called The Greatest Journey for a series of 12 weeks. And here's what blows my mind. Since 2009, when the discipleship program started, over 35 million children have been enrolled. And out of that, 17.4 million children accepted Jesus and gave their lives to Jesus. And it all started from a simple shoebox gift.
That is absolutely amazing and wonderful, and such a way to be a tangible expression of hope, the hope of the gospel around the world. I really appreciate what you said, that it may seem like something so small to you to pack a shoebox here with little gifts, but you could be the part of someone's miraculous story, and maybe another Dania in the world who experiences a miracle and is able to strengthen their faith. Well, Dania, thank you so much for being on with us today and for sharing your miraculous Christmas experience. We appreciate you so very much.
Thank you for having me, Jessica. I just wanted to remind the listeners, this is National Collection Week, and we're collecting boxes all over the country, and we're collecting them up until November 20th, so they can find a drop-off location near them by going to our website, SamaritansFirst.org/OCC.
I think that is great. I have already packed all four of my shoeboxes, and it gave me chills to walk into the church and to see. I've been in two churches now that are participating in this, and just stacked boxes as tall as me, you know, of gifts that are waiting to go. And I think about all of the other distribution sites all over the world. And actually, since 1993, what they told me was that more than 209 million shoebox gifts have been collected for children in more than 170 countries. I don't know any better way to start your holiday weekend a little early if you've got Thanksgiving on the mind than to serve together with your family. I think it's especially powerful for your children to go and shop for someone who is their same age and gender, because they can really put themselves in their shoes and to do that. So yes, again, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Thank you, Dania.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, friends, I'm going to end with seven simple ways to connect with your kids at Thanksgiving. And we'll do seven and a bonus, because the bonus is participating in Operation Christmas Child. It is such an easy way to make an impact. And you can actually have a code that you can sign up and follow your shoebox around the world. But here are quick seven simple ways to connect with your kids over this next week at Thanksgiving. No matter what their age, ask them to create a signature dish to provide at the meal. What is the one thing that they would like to cook, and make it theirs? Ask them to lead some family game time or provide entertainment. There's nothing more entertaining than teenagers leading grandma and Minute to Win It games. I've been there and done that. Ask them to be the family photographer for the day, or ask them to be the dessert server and get them a special apron to do that. Offer to host a Friendsgiving for your teenagers before or after your family time. Have a Top Chef style leftover contest with family or friends as judges. Or ask them to help design a tablescape for the Thanksgiving meal. Most of all, think intentionally about how you will invest your time in relationship building this holiday season. Pray that you don't lose your joy and don't get stressed out, and be back here tomorrow and we'll talk more.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.